Lawmakers in Wisconsin are proposing an update to the state's farmland preservation program to give more farmers an incentive to participate. The program offers tax credits to farmers to keep their land for farming use as opposed to selling it off for commercial, industrial, or other development. The goal is to maintain more land in Wisconsin for farming and agriculture while also meeting sustainability standards. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a farmer, we'd love to hear from you about your experiences with land preservation and conservation. If you are watching in your community, are you seeing a lot of former farmland turned into something else? What do you think about that? Do you want to see efforts to keep farmland? Farmland. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Lauren Oldenburg is a Republican state assembly representative from the 96th District in Western Wisconsin. He's co-author of the bill to update the Wisconsin Farmland Preservation Program, which his own farm in Viroqua has participated in. Representative Oldenburg, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you today.
Now, this program has been around in its current state for a while now. Can you give us the basics on how it works?
Well, I started this program on my farm in 2009. Actually had to write a 590 nutrient plan, which a 590 nutrient plan is the same thing as these big farmers, big CAFOs and everything have to follow. And then also goes on and you have to implement it. You know, you got to do a soil testing, soil sampling, and that will, then you got to put a SNAP plus two program. And then it shows how much soil you're actually losing. And also with a soil test, what kind of nutrients do you have to put back in the soil to get your projected yield, what you want to do in that. So we don't over-fertilize and we save soil. And that's kind of the idea behind farmland preservation. It's as far as taking soil samples, you can hire it done, can do it yourself, send it in, and then you actually can implement it within yourself through the SNAP Plus 2 program. It's a computer program that UW Extension created for this. And it's a little time consuming, but other than that, I think the benefit is huge. Everyone should be soil sampling your crops anyway, or your land, so we don't over-fertilize and get the maximum yield out without spending too much money.
So you're speaking of one of the two goals, as I understand it, Representative Oldenburg, that, you know, preserving soil quality, and this is going to have impacts on water quality as well. Also, if I get it right, this program, the goal is to keep farmland as farmland. Can you talk about that part of the program?
Well, you know, that's the thing, you know, one part of this program, if your township is zoned and zone exclusive ag, you can get in this program without having any other neighborly farms in this program. So it's just on a yearly basis that way. Then if you do an enterprise and agricultural area, that where you have to have other farmers also with you and get a certain amount of acres to do that. That way, this program, this new bill that we put out last week or a couple of weeks ago, will reduce that timeline to 15 years to 10 years. That idea is get more farmers involved, because when we did a survey back in 2018, that was one of the things that farmers didn't want to sign up for 15 years, in case, you know, either sold your land or something else has happened, they could not get out and stuff like that. So, well, the biggest idea of this is actually help the farmers, smaller farmers, big farmers, actually get some beneficial tax credit out of this. Mm-hmm. And that was the reason why we are raising the tax credits on this, because of that was one of the issues that farmers got back to us, is that it wasn't worth their time to do that. So that's the beneficial of maybe put some more dollars in the farmers to actually be able to stay on the land longer, so they don't end up selling the land to a developer or some other entity.
Can you talk a little more about the changes in your new legislation that you're working on? You hit the key point there. I think that's upping the per acre tax credit for people who participate. Are you hoping that's going to be enough to, you know, overcome some of that hesitation you were just talking about from farmers?
I think it'll be a big step forward. I think especially going, if you're in an agricultural enterprising zone or entity, that was only $5 if you were not, your township wasn't zoned. That'll go up to $10. You know, that's huge. And you got to remember, you maybe have 100 acres of crop land, then you have maybe 100 acres of woods. So that's 200 acres. You get tax credit on the whole thing, just not the land that you actually farm in. So that is very beneficial. to the landowner that, hey, I want to keep it small. I want to keep it, you know, at this size, because I do get that extra tax credit, and then where we can, you know, beneficial of the whole thing.
Talking to Representative Lauren Oldenburg from Western Wisconsin, Assembly Representative, looking at a program in Wisconsin aimed at conserving and preserving farmland. It's called the Wisconsin Farmland Preservation Program. He's working on legislation to expand it, hopefully bring more farmers, he says, on board with it. Representative Oldenburg, it sounds like one possibility is, you know, I know farmers are busy people, and they might look at this and say, well, it sounds like a lot of bureaucracy. Is this really worth my time?
I would, I don't believe it is bureaucracy. I mean, it's, you get paid. I mean, you get tax credit when you go file your taxes in February or March, whenever you have to do that, right off the bottom line, you know, you get the sheet from your land conservation office, say you finished your program, your 590 nutrient program, and through the whole process, they sign off on it. You give that to your tax person, you take that tax credit right off your tax, you know, taxes. So, and if you don't pay any taxes, you actually get a check from the state of Wisconsin. So, I mean, it is beneficial. It's a little bit of time, but everyone should be doing their new soil testing. That's probably your biggest time anyway. You get double benefit. You get a tax credit on that. And then you also know what nutrients is required to raise that crop. So I think it's just a little bit of time. I think it's a little bit of education to say, hey, this program is out there. And I think if anyone, any farmers listening to this, reach out to your land conservation offices, your local, you're at the local county level, and say, hey, I'm interested, and see what you have to do.
I wanted to ask about the county conservation offices. As I understand it, they're the ones who say, you know, every now and then they go and check it out and say, yes, you've got this plan, this conservation plan in place. Are there enough of them? Is there enough county conservation officer to go around to implement this program?
Well, I've been very fortunate up here where I, you know, I represent Crawford County, Vernon County, and part of Monroe County, have three great leads there and stuff. And there's also a bill that's going through that would fully fund those programs at 170 and 50 to get more dollars to the county level so they actually could fund those land conservation offices. So I think it's vital, especially here in Western Wisconsin, to make sure the farmers are doing a good job on the land, preserving the soil, and make sure the water's clean. I think they are very helpful individuals and group of people that the farmers should be leaning on if possible.
As you talk to your fellow farmers, Representative Oldenburg, I mean, in general, this program aside, do you hear a lot of interest in preserving, you know, soil quality and local water quality?
Big time. I mean, this last year, I was the first time I, number one, time wise, I don't have a lot of time, I put cover crops in, and I plan to continue to do that going forward. And I think that has taken off big time, cover crops. And you can implement this in the farmland preservation to get your soil loss down there where it needs to be, if you have some steep slopes where I live up here. And also it's good nutrients for soil health. Cover crop has probably taken off in the last 5 to 10 years. Something that I think is just a start. And I think it will continue to be a practice that farmers will put in their rotation. I think there's going to be more and more creative ways of how to get that cover crop on in a timely fashion going forward. That's always the challenge up here where, you know, we get an early winter, or early fall that we can't get these cover crops started. That's the biggest challenge up here is getting the cover crops on timely fashion.
And when farmers are coming up with their conservation plans, is there like a one size fits all, or is it going to look different in a place like, you know, Viroqua area, where you've got that rolling country and more slopes versus, you know, flatter parts of the state or different crops or what have you?
Definitely. I mean, that's what you implement this program where it fits your rotations and the way your where your land lays. Yes, cover crops, and you get further south, you can get those crops in sooner and quicker and get established. So I think, yes, everyone's farm will be different. I think cover crops have really come a long ways on dairy farmers that actually get their corn silage off in, you know, maybe end of September, mid-September, and they can get a cover crop established there. And I bet they're seeing big time advantages of that.
and Representative Oldenburg, as we wrap up, I understand you've got some bipartisan support here, some support from rural and urban districts in the state. What is your timeline? What are you hoping to, when are you hoping to get this thing done and voted on?
I hope to get this voted on. It's kind of a unique, it's an appropriation, it's dollars, so you always have to deal with joint finance. So I would love to get this done before the budget process or within the budget process. Get the bill passed and then get it funded through the budget. So hopefully it's done by the time the budget is done. That would be July 1st.
Representative Oldenburg, thanks again for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you.
That's Representative Lauren Oldenburg, Republican serving Wisconsin's 96th district in the state assembly, a farmer in Viroqua, with us today to tell us more about his bill that would expand the Wisconsin Farmland Preservation Project. Up next, two experts on farmland conservation and preservation practices join us to talk more about some of the challenges farmers might face to maintain their land, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see the state put more emphasis on preserving farmland and on conservation efforts for soil and water quality in rural areas? Why is that important to you? How does it affect your community? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about farmland preservation and conservation here in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234, maybe with your questions, maybe your own experiences as a farmer. What kind of things do you do to help maintain soil and water quality? What are ways that the state or federal governments, if any, could help you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Diane Meyerfield joins us now, Sustainable Agriculture Coordinator for UW-Madison's Division of Extension, also the Wisconsin State Coordinator of the USDA Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education Program. Diane, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Allison Volk is the Land Protection Project's Deputy Director at American Farmland Trust. Before that, she oversaw the Wisconsin Farmland Preservation Program that we were just talking about as part of the State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Allison, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Allison, we were just talking about the Wisconsin Farmland Preservation Program. You used to oversee that. What kind of things did you hear from Wisconsin farmers who participated?
I think we learned from farmers that the tax credit for participating in the program really wasn't enough to help incentivize continuing to be in the program. We also, heard that implementing practices like adopting nutrient management plans, it's expensive. And so having that tax credit available can really help support farmers as they adopt these practices that are so beneficial to water quality and the preservation of farmland.
And Diane, is this a common story you hear that farmers might want to up their sustainability game, but can't, those initial expenses might be a little high?
Well, absolutely. I talk about a range of sustainable practices, and the question does always come up about what is the cost to farmers up front. And a lot of times with these sustainability things, there are higher costs up front. There may be economic benefits in the long term, but it's hard to ask a farmer to do something and carry those losses early, hoping that in 4 or 5 years it'll start paying back.
And Allison, do you think this idea we just heard from Representative Oldenburg of nudging up those per acre tax credits, is it something like that? You think something that'll push more farmers over the edge and say, yeah, I'll give this a try?
I think so. I think it certainly couldn't hurt to increase those levels and to keep them increasing with inflation.
Now, Diane, you work directly with farmers and people who train farmers. What are some of the most common sustainability practices that you see Wisconsin farmers taking up?
Well, Representative Oldenburg mentioned one of them, which is cover cropping. In the past 10 years, really, the interest in cover crops has really grown enormously, from something people didn't even really think about to a significant percentage of Wisconsin farmers doing it. But that's only one of a huge suite of conservation practices, starting with things like reducing tillage, And planting cover crops and putting in other conservation practices to things like agroforestry, where you're integrating trees in your cropping system, maybe planting more windbreaks or even planting rows of trees around in the middle of regular farm fields. That's called alley cropping. So there are literally dozens of conservation practices that farmers can do and are doing in Wisconsin.
Allison, we've been talking mostly about the sustainability part of the equation here. As I understand it, some of the work you do at the American Farmland Trust has to do with keeping farmers on the land and land in work in agriculture. What are some of the biggest challenges to doing that?
Affordability and access to land is a big concern. We have a large population of farmers who are retiring. And in Wisconsin, there's three times as many producers over 65 as under 35 years old. And we really need to make sure that there's farmland available for those emerging producers to have access to.
We are talking about conserving and sustaining farmland here in Wisconsin. Allison Volk is with us from the American Farmland Trust and Diane Meyerfield with UW-Madison Division of Extension. Diane, first day of spring today. What kind of things should be on farmers' minds as they start to think about, keeping their farming as sustainable as possible?
Well, definitely nutrient management, making sure that any fertilizer and any manure applications are not more than the plants need to grow. And so that's number one. Farmers have been thinking a lot more about soil health in general and practices that can increase the amount of carbon in their soils. And so as we approach the planting season, it means also being very aware of the moisture levels of the soils before you run heavy equipment on them. Sometimes the weather just absolutely doesn't cooperate, but that's an important consideration too. And there's a whole range of practices that can benefit soil health. Not all of them in things that are front of mind in the spring, like keeping the soil covered all year round and having a more diverse crop rotation are some examples.
Allison, I understand one tool you work with at the Farmland Trust is conservation easements. Can you tell us about those?
Sure. Conservation easements are deed restrictions that farmers voluntarily will put on their land to ensure that the land remains permanently available for agricultural use. And they remove the development rights and reimburse the farmer for those development rights. Oftentimes, the farmer is then able to reinvest that funding in their operation and the money can stay in the community. And it ties into kind of what Diane is talking about, because if you know that land is going to remain in agricultural use and available for agricultural use, the more apt a farmer is to invest in the health of that land by then implementing those conservation practices.
We heard from Debbie in Franklin, who couldn't stay on the line. She says her municipality is one of the few in Milwaukee County that still has farmland, and her community really wants to see more farmland preservation efforts, like the program we were talking about, the Wisconsin Preservation Program. Allison, I want to ask you about that in particular. In a place where, a piece of land might look a lot more lucrative and valuable being developed for something other than farmland, is that an area you focus on, keeping at least some of that kind of that land in agriculture as cities start to encroach on it?
It depends. The conservation easement has to be used in tandem with other land use tools, such as planning and zoning, because the last thing we want to do is create an island of farming that's surrounded by a development where the farmer can't farm because there's no farming neighbors. So we really need to try to create a balance between farming and development, and then to make sure that we're not acting too late so that we're protecting farmland that's nearby other farmland.
Diane, for farmers who might like to participate in state or federal conservation programs and maybe don't know where to start, what kind of help is available for them in Wisconsin to get connected?
There's a lot of resources. Representative Oldenburg mentioned the county soil and water conservation programs. So starting with your county, Extension also has agricultural advisors in almost every county of the state. And then there are a range of federal programs that, among other things, can provide financial support for a whole host of conservation practices. So the U.S. Department of Agriculture Natural Resources Conservation Service is in every county in the state, and they do both technical advice and, in some cases, financial assistance for conservation practices, ranging everything from improving manure storage to some of these, you know, really sort of innovative agroforestry practices and things like planting strips of prairie on the farm.
And Allison,
and then the program I work with, Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education, is a national program, but that doesn't so much give technical assistance, but for the farmers who are really out there on the cutting edge, there's some good information, and there's also a grant program that SAIR runs that can help farmers try out new and innovative practices.
And we'll leave it there. Diane, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And Allison, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Diane Meyerfield, Sustainable Agriculture Coordinator for the UW-Madison Division of Extension, and Allison Volk is the Land Protection Project's Deputy Director at American Farmland Trust. Been talking about efforts to preserve Wisconsin farmland and to help farmers conserve soil and water quality. Earlier, we heard from State Assembly Representative Lauren Oldenburg, who's sponsoring legislation on the issue, specifically a Wisconsin project called the Wisconsin Farmland Preservation Project.